We Catholics must, accordingly, put ourselves by intellect and will on the real level of the struggle. If we, in imagination, take our stand behind the gibbet of Calvary and see God the Father holding out his Son crucified to men, with the real life of the world coming from his sacred wounds to every succeeding generation, we have a faint image of the reality. We are a fallen race. Through membership of our Lord's mystical body, the Church, men in every generation since Calvary, have received back supernatural life. In proportion to their acceptance of that life, the natural life of persons, families, and nations was restored in the relatively imperfect fashion in which order can be realized in this veil of inevitable tears and unavoidable suffering. We must, therefore, work for the uplifting of mankind along the lines laid down by the Church, supranational and supernatural, sacrificing ourselves in and with the Church. Too often, however, Catholics have an imperfect grasp of the reality of the Church as the mystical body of Christ. When we see the sacrifices made by young Russian communists, with their false and enslaving mysticism of humanity indefinitely progressing by means of machinery and electricity, we ought to be spurred on to realize more fully the solidarity of our union with our crucified head. Only through such union can the political and economic life of the world be again animated with the spirit of supernatural charity and social justice be reborn. Very many Catholics have only what may be termed a negative idea of the Church. They believe, of course, that the Catholic Church is a divine institution, but for them its chief, nay, its almost exclusive function is to forbid certain lines of thought and action. Little wonder that those who have this imperfect idea of the Church are assailed by rebellious thoughts, for it is easy to realize how appealing some prohibited courses of conduct may be. Needless to say, the reading of non-Catholic and Masonically inspired books which point out all the original independent thought that has been condemned by Rome and the Vatican in the course of centuries tends to increase the strain. Some may come to imagine that the Catholic ideal is to think the least possible or not at all. At best, such persons feel that their position is somewhat inferior to their less hampered non-Catholic neighbors. It is worth while examining this attitude of mind and showing how utterly untrue and unfounded it is. The Catholic Church on earth is a divinely instituted society formed of human beings redeemed by their divine head, the second Adam, and as a society is animated by the divine life coming from that head. Nevertheless, each and every one of the members of that society is obliged to struggle against the tendencies of the fallen nature received from the first Adam. The Church has for positive mission the diffusion of that life, thanks to which men can live on their level, the inner supernatural life of God. It is only through that life that even our human natural life can be lived as it should be. The life which the Catholic Church diffuses is spiritual. Accordingly, she demands the acceptance by the human intelligence of the truths God has revealed and the accomplishment by the human will of the sacrifices required in order that the life of grace may dominate in our fallen nature. The Catholic Church has for its mission, therefore, not only to declare the content of revelation, but to safeguard revealed truth from all contamination of error, speculative and practical. The Church must condemn whatever is opposed to or in any way endangers the real life of the world. On account of man's proneness to error since the fall, continual vigilance has to be exercised by the representatives of Christ the King. This accounts for the frequent condemnations of errors that are opposed to the true intellectual life and progress of the world. If now we turn to the consideration of some of the errors which have been condemned, we shall find, under the apparent rigidity and seemingly unyielding spirit of the Church, that wonderful breadth of view and synthetic grasp of all the aspects of truth which are the joy of the Church's children. Heresy, as its Greek original proclaims, means selecting and choosing. It involves, in its very essence, a rupture of the harmonious equilibrium of two truths, both of which are taught in their purity by the Catholic Church. Heresy takes one aspect of the full harmonious synthesis of the divine plan and exaggerates it till the resultant affirmation involves the negation of the complementary aspect. It is the partial truth contained in a heresy which contains acceptance for the error therein involved, because the human mind is meant for truth and cannot embrace error as such. What the Catholic Church condemns is, needless to say, the error or negation, not the affirmation. Let us take some examples from the long list of errors and heresies. Americanism is not condemned on account of its assertion of the necessity of the active and social virtues, but on account of its negation of the interior virtues of self-denial, humility, obedience. It is not judged worthy of reproof on account of its affirmation of the beauty of the natural virtues, but on account of its negation of the splendor of the supernatural ones. Wrote Pope Leo XIII, quote, "Those who affect these novelties extol beyond measure the natural virtues as more in accordance with the ways and requirements of the present day, and consider it an advantage to be richly endowed with them, because they make a man more ready and more strenuous in action. It is hard to understand how those who are imbued with Christian principles can place the natural ahead of the supernatural virtues and attribute to them greater power and fecundity. Is nature then, with grace added to it, weaker than when left to its own strength? And have the eminently holy men whom the Church reveres and pays homage to shown themselves weak and incompetent in the natural order because they have excelled in Christian virtue? Even if we admire the sometimes splendid acts of the natural virtues, how rare is the man who really possesses the habit of those natural virtues?